I have a special guest today who happens to be my little brother. You may have remembered a couple of episodes ago, I had my baby brother. Well, this is my middle brother. He is an acclaimed rapper, barber in the Seattle area, and a father. I wanted to have him on because I want to have a deep conversation about fatherlessness, black fathers, and I thought he'd be the most appropriate person to have this conversation. What's up, Michi?
Hey, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Yes, happy to have you.
Happy to
Happy
be
to
here.
have you. Good. So much is going on in the world. Like, it's crazy that we got to lament once again because of the death of a black man at the hands of white police officers. When George Floyd was being murdered, he was crying for his mother, and there has been sort of a clarion call throughout the world for mothers to stand up, and there's some deep discussion about the impact of black life, or the lives of black men being stolen at the hands of injustice and the impact that it has on black mothers. And one of the conversations that I don't think we have enough is about the impact of black fathers.
For
As
sure.
a black father, what are your feelings? Like, where are you at emotionally and physically and mentally in this space, as we're sort of enduring this variety of crisis in our country and our world?
I can say I'm on an emotional roller coaster. Just from a point of, you feel like as a father in these times, you feel like you brought your children, especially young black men, into like such craziness, there's such a high feeling of guilt for me because I'm like, yo, like I really brought some young men into to this damnation that's going on, like and now it's completely my obligation to make sure that they're equipped with everything that they need, that I have to offer, and it's an arms race to get more knowledge, you know what I'm saying, to equip them with more.
Do you you said you feel guilt. Talk more about that, because that's a weird feeling to have, like, in this space where, like, black men are targeted.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like you love your child, so much that when you think about what's going on in a full scheme in this country when it comes to racism and oppression, you're like, yo, like I really brought a human being into this world to have to deal with this. Like, so that's what drives me to protest and to really, stand for some change, because I care about the future. I care about, my not only just our generation, you know what I'm saying, that my next generation, my nephews, my nieces, and their kids, like, and 'cause we all, if you have children, one day you're gonna want grandkids, So, it's like, do you want, did you brought a child into the world. Now they may bring another child in the world, and there's no telling what's gonna go on in the future. Like, we have Donald Trump as our president right now, and
Well,
who are they gonna allow in the office next,
right.
for the next 8 years?
I think I see what you're saying, but I wonder if you could imagine it from the opposite perspective that rather than experiencing guilt because you brought somebody into this crazy world, like if it's also a gift as well, because the consciousness that you bring to fatherhood changes the trajectory of a Black child, which it results in the changed trajectory of the world, right? Like
Yeah, no.
more educated African American men who understand like their passion, their plight, their calling in the world. Like that's a positive thing. Like,
For sure, for sure. I also look at it like, okay, so I mean, just to be a little more personal, like for me and you, like, you know, like I was telling my son, me like one of the things I always share to him is that life is not fair, you know. So like, don't expect everything to happen fair. Expect to work hard to get the results you desire, you know. And that comes straight from you know what I'm saying, the results of oppression and you know. That comes from oppression and racism, and like for us, like, you know, us being foster children growing up, and life isn't, you know what I'm saying, and not getting everything that we need, you know what I'm saying, just getting, you know, or everything that we want or some wants, you know what I'm saying, that can make us feel like, you know, okay, you know, there's certain things that, you know, are cool about growing up a certain way. But no, like, we grow up understanding, look, life ain't fair. We didn't grow up with our mama. We didn't know our daddy. You know what I'm saying? And that's not all situations, but in our situation. So, you know, do we pout? No, we don't pout. You know what I'm saying? Something that, you know, you would instill in me is, you know, don't be a statistic from what's going on in the world, you know?
about like
About guilt, like,
can you change the trajectory of a child just by being a present Black father?
okay, yeah, I think it's possible to change the trajectory of a Black child by having a father in their life, but I also feel like life isn't what happens to you. Life is how you respond to it,
Right.
you know. And some, I mean, it's a blessing to have a conscious enough parent that can explain that to you in a way that you can grasp it, or you know, some type of parental figure or somebody that you look up to that can help you grasp it, you know. But I
Yeah.
mean, that's my perspective on it.
Right. Yeah. I agree. One of the things that we were discussing just what this podcast would be about, I talked to you about wanting to talk about the myths of Black fatherhood. And I'd come across a article written in the Chicago Reporter that talked about breaking the myths of Black fatherhood around the time of Father's Day. What do you think is the top myth or negative thinking around Black fathers that people hold?
I mean, I would say for our generation is that we're just not present. And I think being a father, I think that the ideal of it's the father's fault why the child why they're not in their child's life is one of the biggest misconceptions.
It's
Like,
the father's fault.
I think that, especially being a child that grew up without his father in his life, you get to an age where you realize, like, systemic oppression or racism, like, played a huge factor in the hereditary, you know what I'm saying, passing down of, you know what I'm saying, the breakdown of the Black home. So, you know, there's a lot of traumatic effects that came from that. That, I mean, when you really look at it, you certain Black parents, you're like, yo, I can't really blame you. Like, you know, you're just one of the people that was a part of that, that didn't know that you were falling into that line of things that broke up the Black family.
Okay, so this article from Black Voices is actually an article from 2014. And I want to share with you what it says, the five lies we should stop telling about Black fatherhood. The five lies we should stop telling about Black fatherhood. Number one, Black fathers aren't as involved in their children's lives. Number two, increasing number of single parent homes is exclusively a Black problem. So that's a myth. Lie number three, a number of unwed mothers is a statement on morality in the Black community. Number four, men who didn't have fathers won't make good fathers. And then finally, Black fathers just in general are an anomaly. So these are five lies that the Black Voices says that we need to stop telling. One of the things that you kind of said earlier that I think should probably kind of coincide with some of this is the role that women play in the construction of these myths, right? And we have had, and we've got podcasts and movies and narratives out there about how Black men are not present. There's enough of those, right? There's not enough narratives that talk about the ways that there have been parents, and not just Black women, but just women in general, who have for a variety of reasons have controlled the exposure of their child to their father for reasons unrelated to, you know, the father's inability to be present, so on and so forth. Talk a little bit about that, and you don't have to say anything personal, but just talk a little bit about how damaging that can be to Black fatherhood in general.
I think without perspective, any you know what I'm saying, one-sided opinions to why anybody isn't present in a child's life, it's just fake news. Like, you know what I'm saying, if we want to use that type of, you know, term. But like, because at the end of the day, it's like everybody has a story. And I mean, I just think that it's not something that anybody should subscribe to without having full understanding of what's actually going on in individual situations.
I can see that. I think it's certainly a discussion that needs to be had, because what I see, like, just in my life, my ministry, my work as a mentor, my community work, is that a lot of times there are circumstances where women can struggle to separate the relationship with the father from the relationship that the father should have with the child, right? And so if me and Keisha have a baby, and I want to be a good father in little Damo's life, but I don't want to be with Keisha, like, then I create a scenario where Keisha uses her power and her credibleness as a mother to block me from access to my child. Do you see that happening, like, amongst your friends and people that you know?
Yes, and even personally. I mean, I feel like a lot of women, you know, I mean, let me not speak out on women in that way, where it's just like all, it's not, I'm not speaking on all women. I would just say there are women that it's a package deal.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is it a package deal, but if you're not doing what they want or their ideology of what a father is supposed to be to a daughter, I mean, to a child and the mother, then you can't be around at all. And, mm-hmm. And that is just, it's not right. And it's most definitely like something that a lot of men that I know go through, you know, it's like, right. Like, and I've seen it from both sides of the spectrum.
I think it's important to note too, because I know, like, I have a lot of women listeners and a lot of people who like listen to my podcast, and I like have the utmost respect for Black women. Again, mm-hmm. What we're talking about is not like, you know, the incredible Black mothers that work very hard to, you know, expose their children to their fathers. You know, like, we're not talking about that group of people. We're specifically talking about a demographic that feed into some of these negative narratives around Black fatherhood.
So look, check this
no,
out.
No, I'm not done. Right,
go ahead.
There are a few negative narratives around Black mothers as there are around Black fathers. Would you agree?
For sure. So can I say something? There's a, I know I don't want to go off on a tangent, but there's something that me and men talk about in the barbershop a lot. And basically it comes down to a lot of women have children with men that they are interested in, fascinated in their lifestyle, right? But then after they actually have that child, they decide, you know what? Ooh, maybe this lifestyle is a little too dangerous or not the exact lifestyle that I actually have planned for a child. You know what I'm saying? That for a child of mine that I want to raise, you know, I want my child to live a different lifestyle or to have a different type of father. You know, I was just interested in this kind of hot boy, crazy dude, you know what I'm saying, for a little while, a little portion of my life. So to be this child's father, you got to change your ways. But in my mind, I feel like, no, that's disrespectful to the man that you laid down with.
You're saying that women choose immature men and then end up having babies with them and expect them to become mature as a result of having the baby, or expect them to be someone different. Is that what you're saying?
Expect them to change in the way how they feel like they've changed. But you can't, that's not right. You can't have a child with a person being who they are without having a discussion about, look, if we ever have children, are you going to change your ways? Or what type of father do you want to be? These are the questions that we don't ask sometimes, you know?
Well, and I think the other thing that's dangerous too is to assume that just because a woman has a baby that she changed or that she become more mature. And I think that's an easy assumption to make, and people do make that assumption often, because yep. The woman is the person that bears the child and has to go endure the pregnancy, and it impacts her body. But having a baby does not necessarily change your maturity level. It might change your priorities. It might change your priorities, because we know women whose priorities do not shift, right? Like, there's some, there are some women who have babies and that hit the club too, right? And I think that, and we don't talk about that because we don't want to demonize women for whatever reason. But I think the bigger point is that, like, there are group decisions. There is group growth that has to happen between both parents, and there's no, like, default maturity that happens for one over the other, right? And so there is that reality that we don't talk about a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like there's if you want a certain type of parental figure, you need to ask the questions before you guys are pregnant or before you guys have the child. But if you just have a child with a man, you expect that man, if he's a gangster, understand that that man might have a mentality of raising a gangster baby.
Well, this is true for men as well, right? Like,
yeah.
We have to be more selective as well.
Yeah, for sure. If you have a thotty woman, expect that she's going to raise a thotty daughter. Those are going to be the examples that she's going to set for her daughter. You know what I'm saying? And the only way to combat that is to find a woman or find a alternate spouse. You know, leave the person that the parent, the co-parent, find an alternate spouse that embodies what you want your child to be or to see. You know what I'm saying? To grow up understanding what love really is or what the model household really is, and just show them that and explain to them the difference. I mean,
yeah,
respectfully.
I don't know if I agree with that necessarily, but I do think that, because I don't think that just because if mom's a thought, daughter's going to be a thought, because
no, I don't think
there
so
are
either.
Plenty of men who are the children of parents that may not have been like the best role models, but God had a different plan for the child.
That goes to what I said earlier, bro. I mean, it's not what life throws at you. It's how you respond to it. You know what I mean? So like hopefully the child is able to, the child's discernment is able to figure out what's going on and make a better decision. You know what I'm saying? If he's in a situation where he's witnessing things that aren't good or healthy for that child. But
I think another myth, in addition to the ones that we've been talking about, but another myth is that there's an increasing number of single parent homes, and that this is an exclusively a Black problem. And I think that's a dangerous myth too. And I think we have to be careful not to perpetuate that as well. Because a lot of times, like, we only know what we have access to. It's kind of like people saying, well, you know, Black people are all on welfare. Well, that's a statistically not true, because Black people can't be the majority on welfare when we're not the majority even in the country. But white people traditionally there are more white people on SSI or what have you. So there's that myth. There's that myth that's out there that is probably not helpful. And it's generated through bias. And I think sometimes we perpetuate that in our own communities, and we have to be careful. The other myth that you kind of spoke to is around, like, what a child becomes as a result of what their parents are. One of those myths is men who don't have fathers don't make good fathers. And that's absolutely not true, because kind of to my point earlier, if I live in a world where my priorities are based on, you know, living, you know, a young boy life, and then I become a father and I accept that my priorities have shifted, I just, as a black man, just like any other man, has the capacity to decide that I'm not going to be the father that I had, right?
Yeah,
And so,
that's a lot of what's going on right now.
Yeah, like, I mean, it maybe it doesn't happen as quick, but like the consciousness that you talked about earlier around like the guilt associated with bringing a child in, like you look around what's happening in the world and then you say to yourself, like, my responsibility is huge. Like it means that sometimes you stop what you're doing and you go have a conversation with your son because you realize the influence and the impact that you have on his life. Say something about your thoughts on like this idea that just because if you don't have a father, you can't be a good father.
Well, I will say that that's completely not true. Just off the strength of, like, for me, I feel like the holes, a lot of the people that I know that grew up without a father, that had children, or that didn't have a father that was always present, that had children, the holes that weren't filled in their lives become their like their goal to make sure that they're filled in their child's lives. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
for me, I never had a parent or anybody come to any sporting events that I ever had. But when it comes to my child, I make sure to make it to every sporting event, take them to every sporting event, snacks, food, you know, pay for it, all of that. Like, you know, because I didn't have that. I think about how far I could have been being a 6'2" athletic built man that's driven when it comes to sports, but without having the kick in the butt from a parent or the guidance the guidance or, you know, extra push to be more or to do more to be better. You know, I look at it like, oh, okay, well, when it comes to my kid, oh, I'm gonna give him all of that. And he will never have to deal with that. And I think a lot of young black men that are around me or that I notice, they're the same way. They're like, yeah, my child won't feel what I felt as a child.
Right. And I think that also contributes to this idea that black fatherhood is an anomaly. We have that construction because somebody is creating that narrative, and we need to be careful about how we talk about that. And then also, like you mentioned, like nobody showed up to your sports games, so you showed up to all your son's sports games. It's that, and it's also showing up to his classroom, talking to his teacher.
Oh, for sure.
You know, those things are equally as important. And It's sometimes we only know how to be, like you talked about, the holes that we feel like we're better in those holes because of the holes that were left for us. So we're like, I'm not going to be the type of father that did to me that my father did to me. And I think that we're fathers become more cognizant of those things. I watched the most beautiful thing, and if you get a chance, if you haven't watched it, it's great. Jada Pinkett Smith has this Facebook special called Red Table Talk. Yeah. And she had Will Smith on there. Did you see the Father's Day special with Will Smith?
No, I didn't.
Oh my gosh, amazing. He talks about like the pressure of that his father had, and how his father was like a workaholic and like taught him and wanted him to learn by example. And he talked about the how he tried to apply that work ethic to his three first kid, it worked. And then as he progressed as a parent, all his kids like really responded differently. And he had to learn how to be to them what he didn't have, but also how to be to them what he did have. And so there's a lot of work that goes in, and every child, right, is different and needs different things. So I think, you know, say some final words about, you know, black fatherhood. Any advice that you have to other black fathers? Advice you have to mothers things that you think that people can be thinking about who are trying to challenge this narrative around absentee Black fathers?
Okay, I would say to Black mothers first. I would say,
and make it brief too. I ran out of time.
For sure, I would say, you know, understand that, you know, if you are in a situation where you have the majority of the custody, that you gotta make it available and give a father an opportunity to learn and to understand his full responsibility, and allow them to be the father that they are, because what they learn from their livelihood is what they have to offer. And there's gifts.
What's your advice to Black fathers?
Black fathers, I would say, I mean, you know, make sure that you look at what you want your child to be. You look at ask yourself, what type of father do you want to be? How do you want your child to say that you were when they become an adult, you know, and start implicating that and look into things that can help your child, you know, be better in the future. It's time to start, you know what I'm saying? You know, well, not, let me not say it's time to start, because some of you guys are doing your thing, but, you know, study to break the curses of the past, you know?
Right. So what is your advice about how in general we can, and not just Black men, but Black women, all people can reverse this trend around, or this false narrative around absentee fatherism in the Black community?
When you meet someone, ask all the right questions. Have those discussions that a lot of us are afraid to have. You know what I'm saying? Have the uncomfortable discussions, because you might find that you don't want to even lay down with that person.
Right.
Or you might find that, you know what? You know, I can understand this person better. So when it comes to things that we would probably not have any patience for, I can understand it, and I can allow that person to grow on my time.
Right. I think that's good for, like, people that you're dating or you're thinking about parenting with. I think in general, I'm thinking of three things that we can do. First of all, if you know a good Black father, like, if somebody presents you this idea that Black fathers are absent, you have the obligation to be like, no, I had a good father. I know a good father. I think the other piece is that for holidays, like, if you put energy into Mother's Day, if you have a solid father, you need to put that energy into Father's Day as well. I think the other thing is that you know, realizing that Black people, we have a 400-year history of white supremacists separating Black fathers from Black children. And so it's not just something that we woke up with. We're actually having to work these days to correct the systemic issues that come as a result of the fact that our children were taken from us in so many different ways, whether it was because of the slave trade, whether it was because of slave auctions, whether it was just a variety of different reasons. So we have to be thinking about that historically. I would think the other piece too is that if you are talking to a single mother, whether she's Black, white, or orange, and she starts talking about her baby's daddy, do not jump to the conclusion that that person is a bad person because of what they say. My brother kind of hit on this a little bit, but he was talking, I thought we were going in the same direction, but he was giving some better advice about relationships with people. My advice around asking questions is, you ain't got to be challenging nobody, but you do have to think, like, oh, you know, hey, you know, my baby daddy is terrible. Oh, okay, well, what do you mean by terrible? because I've asked some questions about people's baby's daddies and then realized, like, ooh, I think you might just be struggling with him. If the reality that every parent has to come to, especially if you're not engaged in a relationship with your baby's father, is that you pick them. Like, you selected them. And it that is off if they are a bad human being, and you want to tell everybody that, that is also a reflection of your choices, right? Sure. And if you project that you made a poor choice in the selection of a child's father, and you project that verbally all the time, what does that mean for that child who is growing up, who cannot hear you say anything positive about the parents? So listen, the mother, and the same thing with the father. The father, especially if you are the father of a Black son, on Mother's Day or whenever the opportunity presents itself, you need to help. You don't have to be with the baby's mom to teach your son how to honor his mother. And the same would be for a mother who has a son or daughter. It does not have to be Father's Day for you to model. You might not have anything good to say about your baby's daddy, but you ought to say that to your homegirl. Call your mom and talk to her about it. Do not project negativity. If dude's no good, like, in general, the child will figure it out.
For right? Sure.
But you don't need to create or build or facilitate some narrative in the mind of a child. Because what happens a lot of time, and I'm speaking from a ministry perspective, what happens a lot of times is that parents, you're a single parent and you work really hard to be present for your child. Your child starts acting up and you get into this space where you're like, well, at least I'm here and I'm present. And so you start trying to compare yourself to an absent parent or a parent who doesn't do as much. And then you build a lot of animosity. And then the child taps into that animosity and will be like, I'm going to go to my daddy's house or I'm going to go to my mommy's house. And they're saying that because they know that that pisses you off, right? They know that that upsets you. And so they know how to push your buttons, or they know that's a trigger for you. And you have to be careful with that, because you're creating...
Or play you guys against each other.
Right. And you're creating an adult problem for a child. And that child will remember that. And so we have to learn how to speak kindness. And sometimes, like, because we made this selection, like, I had to speak to the potential of my baby's mother or father, right? Your dad is not, he said he was going to come pick you up at 8. He's kind of late. I think he's going to get better at that. Like, here are some things that you can do to talk to him or talk to her about being more timely. You know, that if your dad didn't get you anything for Christmas next year, you know, he might change his mind, but look at what you already have. Like, so
exactly. Learning that's how to,
right. Learning how to reframe things so that, you know, but I'm
buy you gifts all year. What you worried about just this for?
Right. That's, I think it's important to reframe. And we have to do it, because if I just posted, this is my closing comment, but I had posted a photo of a mural in Seattle that said Black Lives Matter. And a person responded and said, they need to make a sign that says, but if Black Lives Matter, then Black people need to stop killing each other. Not the time or the space. Sometimes we get into this mindset that, like, we are our own problem. If we fix ourselves, then people will see us different.
Can I speak on that? Can I speak on that?
This is my closing comment, because I'm running out of time. The reality is that we have the obligation to promote and to better ourselves. And we should be doing that internally. And we should not hijack important movements to bring attention to things that aren't relevant. And so I just think that that's a good way of thinking about all that we're doing. And we have definitely running out of time, so I have to have my brother again. Tell the followers how they can connect with you, Michi, on social media.
Either you can follow me on Instagram at SPAC3TAGRAM, Spacetagram, or you can follow me on Facebook at SPAC3MAN, Music, Spaceman Music, and yeah, basically that's it.
Appreciate that. And I will also put his contact information on the podcast description. You can follow this podcast and check me out and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. We're on Apple, just pretty much every podcast spot. So you can also go to my website, DominiqueBomonte.com. You can follow me on Facebook at D.Bomonte and on Instagram at Season with Salt. So thank you, brother, again.
Season with Salt.
And I'd love to have you again, and appreciate your time.
We got to find a little tag for you, man. We gotta find a smooth way to say it. You've been seasoned with salt.
Appreciate your time, sir.
All right. Thank you, bro.
Bye.